My name is Al Morse, and we're going to start a whole new pattern of teaching today. We're going to deal with the preeminence of the gospel. We're going to deal with this verse by verse through every letter of Paul's epistles. And we're going to like to get your Bibles open right now and turn to Romans chapter 1. And every place that we go, we'll find the gospel written in the book, in the Bible. I want you to circle it. And every place that we see that pertains to the gospel, or refers to the gospel, or alluded to the gospel, make mention of it. But, and then just put a check mark. We're going to start in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Verse 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. We can start right off with it. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Circle that gospel. And bold circle around it. The gospel of God. You see, Paul was a servant of Jesus Christ and called to be an apostle and separated totally to the gospel of God. You see, in each and every one of these writings, there are letters to churches that are already established in the gospel. These people knew the gospel. But yet still, he didn't actually teach the gospel that much, because they've already learned the gospel. Let's look at verses 4. Romans chapter 1, verses 4. It said, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. See, that's the gospel, the resurrection of the dead. I probably should say, there may be people here, this is the first time hearing this. The gospel we're talking about is salvation for the body of Christ, for the church today. It's salvation for the church today. And what it is that Christ, this is the gospel, Christ died for your sins, and he was buried, and he rose from the dead. That's what Paul calls the gospel. And if you believe that, truly believe that in your heart, you're saved. You're saved. And Paul is the apostle of Christ, and he preaches the gospel. And this was given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at verses 9. It says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel. Circle it. In the gospel of his Son. So that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. He deals with dealing totally with the gospel. And look at verses 16. Romans chapter 1, verses 16, and look what we see. He says, starting 15. So as much as it is in me, is I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Circle it. Circle the gospel. That's all he preached was the gospel. Verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Think about that. Think about that. Just look at that again. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it. What's it? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Isn't that what we're looking for? Salvation. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth. Believeth what? The gospel. Do you notice what it didn't say? It didn't say believeth and join a church. It didn't say believeth and be baptized. It didn't say believeth and speaking in tongues. It said believe the gospel. And that's what salvation is. When we believe the gospel that Christ died for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose from the dead. Look at chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verses 16. It says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. When is this? The day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. Well, that's the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment. This is the judgment after the millennium, when God will bring every person that ever lived on this earth, and they're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone that's in that standing there before Him are non-believers. There'll be no believers. No believers in this. Only non-believers. And look what they're going to be judged by. Paul's gospel. Did you believe in Paul's gospel for your salvation? And of course they didn't. And every one of them will end up in the lake of fire. Circle it. The gospel. Circle that gospel. Let's look at chapter 3. And let's look at verse 25. Chapter 3, verses 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past and through the forbearance of God. The propitiation through faith in what? His blood. That's the gospel. See, we believe that Christ died for us and He was crucified. He died on that cross. He shed His blood for our salvation, to pay for our sins. Check it. Check it. If that isn't pertaining to the gospel, I don't know what is. Check it. Let's look at chapter 4. Chapter 4, verses 24. 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. That's another one that refers to the gospel. He raised Christ from the dead. That's part of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins, He was buried, and He rose from the dead. Check it. It also pertains to the gospel. Now let's look at chapter 5. Excuse me. Chapter 5. Let's look at verses 6. Verses 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. You see, Christ died for our sins. You see, if Christ hadn't died for our sins, we'd still be in our sins. It wouldn't make any difference what you believed. But Christ died for our sins, and He told us that's the gospel. That's what we have to look to for salvation. You see, it's what He did is what counts. It's what He did is what saved us. Because if He hadn't died, we'd still be in our sins. And He points to the gospel for salvation for the church today. For the salvation for the church today. Look at 5:8. But God commendeth His love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Check it. Pertaining to the gospel. Christ died for us. Look at 9. Much more than being now justified by His blood, yet ye shall be saved from the wrath through Him. Because He died on that cross, He paid for our sins, and the wrath of God will never fall upon us. Because our sins are totally paid by Christ's death on that cross. Check it. That's part of the gospel. 5:10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Here again, much more being reconciled, we were saved by His life. We are saved by what He did for us on that cross. Check it. It's important. Now let's look at 5:15. It says, 5:15. But not as of the offense, so also is the gift free. For if through the offense of one many are dead, that means that was Adam. Because of what he did, many of us, many people, died because they inherited that sin nature from Adam. But much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Because Jesus Christ died on that cross and paid the sin debt for mankind, many many will be saved because of that. All you have to do is believe what he did. He believed the gospel. Look at 5:19. 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. Check it. That's the gospel. Because of what he did on that cross, we're going to be made righteous because of what he did, not what we do. We can't do nothing for it. Jesus did it all. He paid the price for sin, and it's the gospel plus nothing is what your salvation is based on. Let's look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 and look at verses 4. Romans chapter 7, verses 4. It says, wherefore, my brother, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even who is raised from the dead, who we should bring forth fruit unto God. He was raised from the dead. You see, if Christ wasn't raised from the dead, we'd still be in our sins. Because the fact that he raised from the dead, that proved that God raised him from the dead, proved that he accepted the sacrifice of his life on that cross to pay for our sins. Check it. Check it. Let's look at chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and let's look at 32. Verses 32. It says that he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. He delivered him up for us. He spared not his own son, but he delivered him up for us. How shall we now with him so freely give us all things? Check it. If that isn't the gospel or related to it. And look at verse 34. Who is he that commendeth? Shall Christ that died, yea, rather that he was risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us? That's the gospel. This very day, the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven, and he's making intercession for those who would believe the gospel. When we make a mistake on this earth, old Satan is condemning us. He said, look at there, Al made a mistake. He sinned. And Jesus is sitting up there and say, that's okay. He said, I paid for that sin. I paid for that sin because he believes the gospel. That really feels good. It doesn't give us a license to sin. Because we don't want to sin. Because you see, the second we believe the gospel, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And God's living in us. And he keeps guiding us and draws us closer and closer to him each and every day. And we don't want to sin. Sin is the last thing that we want to do because of our what we know what God went through to pay for this sin. We know what he did. Let's look at chapter 10. Let's turn to chapter 10. Chapter 10 and look at verses 9. Chapter 10, verses 9. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart, and God hath raised him from the dead, he said, thou shalt be saved. Now that is pertains to the gospel 100%. And it goes on, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Check this. We just found out, I told you, that you had to truly believe the gospel for your salvation, that it was a heart thing. It's something that you truly believe, not a head thing, a heart thing. And also, we should confess that fact. I don't think you have to walk down an aisle and shake the hand of the minister and confess it. I think you can go to your quiet room and you can talk to God just like I'm talking to you. And you can say, Lord, I believe the gospel for my salvation. And then just name it, that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. I believe that, Lord. And you know what? The second you do that, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When that happened to me, I cannot believe what he did for me. I mean, you didn't have to wait a day or two to know it. You know it right away. You can tell it. I was studying the scriptures, and all of a sudden, they just like I got another 100 points of IQ. All of a sudden, I could read and read and read and enjoy it and understand it. Before, I used to just struggle horribly hard in order to be able to read the Bible. Now, I can spend hours upon hours every day studying the Word of God. And it's just, with His guidance, the Holy Spirit's guidance, there's not a whole lot I can't do. And it's just wonderful. It's wonderful when you believe the gospel. Let's look at 10:15. 10:15. It says, "And now shall they preach? How shall they preach, except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Sacrilege gospel. Circle it. When the pastors today that preach the gospel are a unique group of people. I've yet to be able to find any. Hardly at all. I found some, but not in my area, that truly preaches the gospel. You know, I've been in the church for all my life, and I've never heard the gospel preached yet. Never heard it. Not once. But the preachers that do, you know, it shows right here. It's glad tidings to them. Glad tidings. Circle that gospel. And look at 16. It says, they that have not obeyed the gospel, you know, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? You see, there are so many people that do not believe the gospel for their salvation. And it's just heartbreaking. But this is, circle that gospel. And then look at 17. Look at 17. It says, so that the faith cometh by the hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the gospel. Hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What's the word of God? The gospel. That's all Paul preached. Check that. That's all Paul preached. Let's turn to Romans chapter 11. Chapter 11. And let's look at verses 28. Romans 11, verses 28. It says, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for our sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. What is he talking about? He's talking about the Jewish nation. You see, for our sake, the Jews, they were enemies of the gospel. You know, the Jews really, really stumbled. You know, Jesus came on this earth to be their Messiah. And I mean to tell you, we can't imagine all what he did and the miracles he did to show him who he was. He fulfilled all the Old Testament scriptures of being the Messiah. But they rejected him, you know. And then, they went to the cross. Well, that for us, that was a great thing. But the Jews, they just totally rejected Jesus. You know, and when the disciples decided after his death, having his burial, and he rose from again, and then he went back to be in heaven, they had to choose another apostle, a disciple, because of Judas. And you know, they could only muster up 120 believers. Think about that. All the work that Jesus did, he only had 120 believers. That's in the first chapter of Acts. 120 believers. And then, after Pentecost, after Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell upon those disciples and gave them boldness. And they went out and preached the gospel of the kingdom, not our gospel, the gospel of the kingdom, to everybody that would listen to them. Trying to wake up that they would believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And they had a couple thousand or so, but they disappeared, literally. literally disappeared. And then that's the second chance God gave him to accept him. And then he called out Paul to be an apostle to the Gentiles and to the Jews. He told Paul, take the gospel first. Take the gospel first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. And he did that for 10 years, and they darn near killed him. They had that opportunity. And all the time, they were enemies of Christ. But God will deal with them later on, after he takes his church, this church out. He'll deal with them. Let's see where we're at now. We're in Romans chapter 11. And let's look at chapter 14. We turn to chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And look at verse 9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both to the dead and the living. Check it. If there is the gospel, he died for our sins and he rose again, that he would be both the God of the dead and the living. And that's tremendously important. When we die, he is going to be our God still. Nothing's going to change. We love him today and we're going to love him in the future. We'll be with him forever. Well, let's look at chapter 15. And let's look at verses 16. Chapter 15 and look at verses 16. It says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel, circle it, the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. You see, that's something that we had that no one else had. As soon as we believe the gospel, as soon as we believe that gospel, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with that Holy Spirit. Sealed with it. Sealed with it. He's going to live with us for the rest of our life because we believe the gospel. Circle that. Now let's look at verses 19. We'll see what it says. Though mighty signs and wonders are the powers of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and around about unto Lycaonium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Fully preached the gospel of Christ. See, that's all he preached. That's all he preached was the gospel, that Christ died for our sins and he was buried and he rose from the dead. Circle that. And look at verse 20. It says, yea, so that I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But that's the gospel, and that's what he did, and that's what we believe for our salvation. Now let's look at verses 29. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Of the gospel of Christ. Think about that. Think how wonderful that is, that he's going to come, that he preached the gospel of Christ. And this is what I'm trying to do now. My ministry is based on nothing else but the gospel of Christ, because the world today have turned their back on the gospel. They turned their back on the gospel. Now look here on verses, let's look at chapter 16, and let's look at verses 25. 16, and look at verses 25. It said, now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Circle my gospel. Circle it. And think about this a second. He established to his gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret. What's he talking about? You see, this gospel was never talked about in the Old Testament. It was never talked about in his earthly ministry. Peter, James, and John had no clue of this gospel. They didn't even have a clue that God was going to totally set the Jewish nation aside. But he did. He did. He set them aside totally and called out a whole new church. It's called the Body of Christ, and made Paul the apostle. Apostle to this. He was a minister of the gospel, and he gave him the gospel for salvation. Not based on who he was. It was based on what he did. It was based on what he did. What did he do? He died for on that cross. He was buried, and he rose again. That's salvation today. We're going to be looking at real closely when we get into Corinthians. That'll be our next time in Corinthians. And so, this is just wonderful. And I hope that this is something that you can get your teeth into, marking these in your Bible like we are. So every time you turn your page, you'll see those circles and those checks. And it'll draw you closer and closer to God and give you the confidence that we all need in order to stand behind the gospel. This isn't just a one or two occasions. There's over 60 of these gospels, and probably close to that, that are pertaining to the gospel, that are pertaining to the gospel. Let us pray. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to teach the gospel, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would open up the heart of everybody that is listening today, that they themselves would come to the saving knowledge of the gospel, that everybody would be saved by that, because that is the only way we can be saved. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.